You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
When you go into a Bruce Springsteen movie called Blinded by the Light, you're like, oh, are they going to address how just inconceivably odd those lyrics are? I mean, I've never been revved up like a deuce or never tried to really understand what that is.
The deuce, what is that? So it's the deuce and the boss? Are these nicknames for him?
I feel like that worked. No, literally the line is, blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Means nothing.
Yeah, it's very strange. This was a love letter. The longest love letter I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, the longest love letter to Bruce Springsteen, this side of a guy actually who grew up in New Jersey, I'm sure. And I'm not sure it fully works past that point.
Oh, it doesn't work at all.
No.
No. It's barely a step above a student film,
yeah.
I think.
Before we get too far into that, I'm Ben.
I'm Kim.
And we're talking about Blinded by the Light, which is a British comedy written by, I believe it is, no, is his name not even on it, or is it the Gurinder Chadha? Is he the one who created, was that the one at the beginning?
I have Paul Berg's.
Okay, maybe Gurinder that's him.
Chadha. It was a team of people who
yes.
wrote this movie.
I'm trying to remember, because like, the guy introduced himself at the start of the movie, which is a rarity here. Now, Gurinder's a woman, so I don't know which one was the one who's like, this is based off my life. I thought, did he not write his own movie? Safraz Manzoor is evidently the gentleman who this is based off the life
yes.
of.
Yes, yes.
Basically, he's a Pakistani teenager in the 80s who feels trapped by his culture in trying to be British. Fair, easy enough story, works. Until basically he gets turned on by a friend to Bruce Springsteen and goes, hey, you're talking about my life, which is life living in a shitty town off a highway and you have no real future. This is me.
This is not uncommon to
yeah.
most people. Hence the story being slightly boring because it's like, me and many people have lived this life of coming from a small town and using music as an escape.
Exactly. And I gotta say, I mean, there seems like there might be some actual really interesting story here. Like, yes, it's a very average story about, you know, hey, I need an escape from my small town, but growing up Pakistani in England in the 80s is very different, especially with the neo-Nazi movement there, which is pretty large in this movie. But it almost feels like a secondary thought.
The whole, I couldn't even say if there was a real storyline. Most of the movies feels like choppy bits of a movie, of a longer movie.
Yeah.
And they had to shorten it, which they probably could have cut 30 more minutes from it, honestly.
it's a
two-hour movie.
Yeah, 2 hours. And I was just like,
about a boy listening to Bruce Springsteen and deciding to go to college.
Exactly. And look, I love Bruce Springsteen's music. My mom grew up in New Jersey, which, so basically, you love Bruce Springsteen, you love Bon Jovi. And his music is actually really good for that late 70s, early 80s rock and getting into that. I love his stuff, don't get me wrong, but like, even if all of his music meant this much to you, this movie doesn't seem to know how to do anything other than just like, hey, we got the rights to be able to use his music. Let's just play it nonstop throughout, even if it just throws off the whole movie.
Well, they play it nonstop, and then they also have the lyrics pop up. So it's kind of, at certain moments, you feel like you're in a karaoke bar.
Yeah.
You see the words pop up on the screen.
It's like, look, the words are important to him. It's like, cool, I can hear the lyrics. He's speaking English, and he's not that unintelligible of a singer. Like, I don't know. I think the first time I had an issue is like when it gets to that first time he hears Bruce Springsteen, it's like, was this supposed to be a music video? Is this supposed to be fantastic realism? Like, but it doesn't fit with the rest of the movie because so much more of the movie is so grounded in trying to be realistic.
Well, I did enjoy the first musical number, as it were, because they do something that a lot of movies don't do when a character breaks out in the song and dance. They acknowledge that it's weird, but then it's like he starts singing and everyone around him is like, dude, what are you doing? What's going on? Which would be what happened if it happened in real life. And then that only lasts for like 30 seconds before everyone in this little, what is it, like a shopping market?
Something
they're like,
all right,
sure, we'll break out into song too.
It's just, it gets progressively weirder, because the first one is like, he's really frustrated with something, and then he like starts dancing in a hurricane with weird projectors on the wall, and I don't get where they're, like, I get what they're going with. It was like, this is way too on the nose. Like, God help me, that maybe it's really what's in the guy's life, that it did happen like a night of like a hurricane and stuff. I'm not going to say that can't be possibly real, but they milked the hell out of that scene for just as much overwrought symbolism as they could.
Well, I'm not, I think probably everything that we saw in this movie happened to him in real life. And I say this because none of it was that interesting. So, and I don't think you can make up something this uninteresting. It had to have been real.
Also the fact that the way that it bounces back and forth, where it like seems like he's getting anywhere and then he jumps back for no reason, has to be real life, because yeah. In a movie, you actually cut some of that out to be narratively interesting.
Yeah, you want to streamline your movie. This movie has... It also has a lot of characters that there's not a real reason for them to be there, such as the best friend. The movie opens with the main character and his best friend and their young boys, and they're talking about how they'll be friends forever.
Yeah.
But that best friend doesn't really have a real part in this movie. He pops in maybe two or three times just to have an argument or to say something.
He's supposed to be kind of that motivation of like, you know, you don't change, and, you know, I supported you since, you know, the beginning when you were a writer, and it's like, that's cool and all. I also didn't fully get why they were really fighting at the point, like in the middle point of the movie. It's like, okay, your friend likes different music than you now, and he's finally, you know, acting out. Oh, he's making fun of you. It's like, dude, he's always clearly different motivations from you.
You made one joke about your taste in music, and you're going to end a friendship over this? Is this a real fight?
Yeah, there's so much weird with this movie. The lead, I will say, I believe it's Vivek Kalra, who plays Javed, the main character.
Great pronunciation.
And I'm doing my best. Somebody's going to jump on that grenade, right?
It wasn't going to be me, folks. No.
I think he was fine. It's just the script doesn't do him any favors. Like, when he has to give a performance or a change in emotion, and I think in the dancing scenes, too, he's really quite good.
And he has a pretty good voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... He did the very best of what he had. He just did not have much on the paper for him to do. And I thought the editing was kind of choppy as well.
Yeah.
It was just really quick, and the scene changes were really jarring. The way it wasn't a smooth movie.
No.
There wasn't like he has to overcome this one hurdle. It's like there are 17 small things happening, and we're going to show you all of them, and then come back to the main plot.
I think my biggest issue is how none of that even seems to matter, too. Like,
none of it matters.
There's the thing about like the neo-Nazis, which is supposed to be a big thing, and it really is, culturally, but like there's a bit at the beginning, and then suddenly, like, when he's with his friend, like, in this restaurant in the mall, like, these Nazis take their tape, like, oh, you left the tape, and suddenly he's brave enough to, like, go and take this tape, and, like, none of these neo-Nazis get up, like, to punch him or anything.
That was the other thing. There was no transition from, in the beginning of the movie, he's very shy, very, awkward, self-contained, and then... At one scene, he can barely raise his hand in class, and the next scene, he's standing up to Nazis.
Yeah.
There's no transitionary period at all.
And then it goes back with the weird fantastic realism where, like, he and his friend, like, march out singing Bruce Springsteen, and all the girls and people there are like, oh, look how brave they are and how cute they are. It's like, are we trying to make it like Bruce Springsteen's music is that powerful? Like, again, it's emotionally important to him, but nobody's marching out of picking a fight with neo-Nazis singing Bruce Springsteen, even if he is the most important singer in your life. That scene felt so weird to me.
A lot of scenes felt really weird, and I'm just going to say it, this obsession with Bruce Springsteen also just felt extremely strange. I mean, I don't doubt that he's a great artist, but... The way the main character and his Sikh best friend were obsessed, they would literally get in each other's faces and just say, Bruce, to each other in the most awkward way possible.
Like, there's some real peculiarity with that. I will say it reminds me of one of my favorite jokes from Bo Burnham was he has a great song. He was doing a country song. He's like, you know, parodying, you know, a big stage country. And he's like, look. People make fun of country, but if Bruce Springsteen can sing a song about an interstate and it's art, country can be art. I'm like, yes, Bruce Springsteen's songs pretty much are singing about an interstate or working in a factory. It's not the most glamorous music out there, and I get why it works for this character, but I mean, I kind of want to read the guy's actual book that this is based on to be like...
Really? You want more of this?
No, I want to see almost how much this movie tried to adapt it and failed horribly.
Well, so was he... He wasn't the director.
No, he wasn't the director. He's credited as a writer, but I think it's just that it's influenced by his story because there's two writers above him on the credits. I think literally he just sold his story, and then this director was like, oh, we got the Bruce Springsteen music. We need to play it so constantly to where the point that it doesn't matter, and have the same character keep like reciting the lines to people all the time instead of highlighting how he works as a writer.
Do you think this movie could have been made 10 years ago or even 5 years ago before the new rock documentary movie scene is happening? What's Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I feel like it could have been made like as an HBO movie. And because HBO was kind of up on like these, you know, kind of jukebox musicals, which this kind of is like, cause like, I think of the scene, there's a scene where he's like supposed to be like, okay, we're going to rebel and show everybody how cool Bruce is by playing him on the school radio. And it just turns into this weird long dance number where they're going through town. And I think it's just trying to be for the transition where they get to the mosque and something terrible happened from neo-Nazis. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, again, love the song, does not need to go on for that long in the movie. It just throws off the plot. And again, you could have cut that song to half of its length for every one of the songs, pretty much, and cut out probably at least 20 minutes for this movie, it feels like.
I think my biggest issue was the movie kept telling us that the main character was a writer and that he was a good writer. And every time we heard any of his writings, they were really bad. They were, like, embarrassingly bad.
They're mediocre at best. And then, like, the only other time it comes up, when he has a chance to read what's supposed to be his best writing at that point, he stops it and comes up with a new speech about, like, how he's changed his mind on that paper. And I'm just like, I kind of wanted to hear what this paper that's supposedly the best thing he's ever written is.
So movies seem to like to put their main character on a stage in the last 10 minutes to wrap it up with their emotional speech to the audience.
Yeah.
In this case, he was giving a speech at a school assembly, and his speech was about the town he lived in. He decided to completely scrap that speech when he saw his family start crying in front of his whole school and start talking about how him and his dad butt heads, but they're really the same. It was like, your school doesn't care about this.
Yeah,
this would make you the laughing stock of this school. You're crying on stage talking about how much your dad means to you.
Exactly.
It's weird and uncomfortable.
I will say, like, I'm looking at the cast here. It's an interesting cast. Like, I don't know basically anyone else in this except for the two of the adults, which is Hayley Atwell plays his teacher, which I love Hayley Atwell. She's gorgeous. She's a talented actress. But it's like, what are you doing in this movie?
What are you doing in this movie? I think she maybe had 10 lines, and it was just out of nowhere where she – so all of the characters have, like – one sentence to describe them.
Yeah.
She's the teacher who believes in her student and goes behind his back to submit papers to contests. So she just pops in randomly like, hey, you know that paper you gave me for your homework? I submitted it to a competition that won nationwide. It's like, well, that's inappropriate for you to do that without telling me. I know you mean well, but as a teacher, I feel like you're... And she didn't do this not just once, but twice. She submitted things, his papers, to things without his knowledge just to come back and tell him, hey, by the way, you work for the newspaper now because I submitted your paper.
That's part of the thing that I wanted to read the book. I'm like, how much of this did they just, like, adapt this? Because it feels so out of thin air. The only other actor, by the way, I did know was Rob Brydon, who is a British comedian who played Matt's father.
Which I like the horrible wig.
Yeah, like, I like that comedian because he's fully fine with making fun of himself for that stuff. But it's just like... He got nothing to do either. He's kind of a dorky dad. There's supposed to be the bit where Matt's like, your dad makes fun of you like mine does. It's like, all dads make fun of their kids.
Yeah.
Like, just like kids make fun of their dads. That's why
people have kids, so they have, like, free people to pick on.
I think he was pretty much in this movie just for that one scene where he supports him about Bruce Springsteen, which, again, just proves, like, yeah, Bruce Springsteen was already kind of an old deal in 1987. I'm sorry.
Speaking of, the neighbor... Can we talk about the neighbor really quickly?
Yeah, I was trying to look for his name, and I can't even remember his name in the movie.
Like we mentioned before, this movie has probably 10 characters who have a role bigger than a cameo, but they also aren't doing anything. the one that bothered me the most was the neighbor.
Yeah.
Because he would just pop in occasionally, just to pat the main boy on the back and say, I believe in your writing. You should keep going for that. He popped in like 3 times to randomly do that.
I was going
to
say, my favorite with him is like the first time you see a neo-Nazi, the kid like looks at him and he's like, oh no, he's going to hate me because he's a Nazi too or something. It's like, you're just assuming that of a random white guy in England. There's a lot of old white men in England. I'm sorry. They can't all be Nazis. And then, like, the second he comes over, like, to support him, you know what's going to happen. And I like to believe maybe he did actually have a supportive neighbor, but they're like, we can't take this character out because it's too important. But we're also going to cut him down to basically 3 scenes.
Yeah. Him, Hayley Atwell, the best friend.
Even the girlfriend doesn't really get much to do.
Girlfriend. I mean, I did like watching those scenes because I thought they had good chemistry.
Yeah.
And I guess falling in love while listening to music is a thing that people do.
It is.
So it made sense for the movie.
And I like that she actually had some motivation and some actual agency of her own where it's like, yeah, no, I'm actually very politically active. And it's mostly because my parents are waspy rich assholes. And I realize that that's not the only way to be. And it's like, cool. I dig that she actually gets some agency. But then again, at the end, she's brought in for the easiest plot element in every one of these types of movies of, I need to help the guy I love who scorned me, you know, get back in touch with his family so he loves me again. And it's like, I almost feel like they just strung that character along because they also don't bring her up at the end what really happened. So clearly they didn't stay together or anything.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet. I mean, he's more in love with Bruce Springsteen than probably anything else on this planet.
Yeah.
It was just really... Oh, and then the sister. The sister had maybe 3 scenes as well. They go to a club at one point for no apparent reason.
Pretty much just to show it's like, hey, here's another part of Pakistani culture and East Asian culture in England at this time. It's like, I guess that's cool, but it doesn't add anything to the story. It just adds runtime to a 2-hour movie. That's a long movie. But Ken, do you want to go into your final thoughts?
Yes. As I said before, this is barely a step above a student film, in my opinion. The editing was sloppy. The dozen characters who had no real background of their own, slash they didn't really add anything to the main character's story. It's like, what's going on here? It just wasn't well thought out. The writing was weak. Everything was predictable. The best thing I can say is they did have some cool scenes, like the dance scene we just mentioned. And I actually enjoyed the musical numbers. Even though they didn't make sense, they at least brought a little life to the movie, which is claiming to be a drama comedy. Not sure where the comedy was, but the musical scenes were fun. I'm not familiar with the artists that the movie's about, Bruce Springsteen, so I didn't have a personal connection to any of the songs that were playing, and I wanted this movie to make me fall in love with him.
Yeah.
And it didn't. It kind of just was boring. To listen to his songs, but they were all, like, out of context of the whole song, so it's kind of hard to get into something like that. It's hard to really say much about it because the movie didn't have much to say, really. At the end of the day, that's just how it was. I do like that brown people are having a chance to tell their stories.
Sure.
They are valuable and should be heard, but would it kill them to make them just a touch more interesting? Just a touch.
Could help.
Yeah, I mean, that harsh, but real. I'm going to give this, let's say, I should have thought of a thing. I'm going to say 2 really not funny dads out of 10.
I can see that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were going through this review, like, I was just thinking about it, it's like, it almost sounds like we're rambling, and it's because we're trying to find something to grasp onto in this movie, and there's not anything there. And I know a lot of people were comparing this just from the trailers to Yesterday, which came out. And when we reviewed that, we had a lot of things to say about it. Not a lot positive. It was generally like, hey, it's enjoyable. But that one at least highlighted the Beatles' music well. It showed a lot of fun with it. And it at least tried to have an interesting narrative, even if it failed quite a lot. This one feels like it tried to adapt this guy's story and then didn't realize that if you're going to make an adaptation, at least adapt it to something more direct or clean and entertaining as a narrative, instead of just trying to tell every part of it and telling it as much as it bounces back and forth. I didn't think the fantastic realism worked. I agree, some of the musical segments were fun. Like, Born to Run is a great song, and that scene when they're dancing to it goes on too long, but it's really a good song. It's a fun time with it, but it's just like, you guys are filling time in a movie that's already too long. Just stop trying to fill time. And I couldn't help but think that the whole damn movie is just, I kind of just wanted you to admit that you're done with the narrative because you're not doing anything more interesting than, you know, your average, you know, teachers that believe in their students narrative. And there's like that one scene where they try to get the neo-Nazi thing to be a big thing. And it's even not there. We're like, his family doesn't even seem to realize that he wasn't there, so it doesn't even matter in that one scene.
In that scene, I remember the dad and the son shared a look. I didn't know what that look meant.
Yeah.
It was very confusing.
Because the whole time he's like, oh, is he safe? Is Javid safe? Because he didn't even know that he wasn't there, and he was worried he got hurt. So then the dad think, oh, you weren't there? No, he didn't seem to... that look looked like he was disappointed in him, but he had no reason to be. It's a real mess of a movie. If you like Bruce Springsteen music, it's not the worst thing in the world. I do.
I would say just put on a record.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, you probably have a record. You probably have a cassette tape. You probably have it on Spotify. You don't need this movie. If you catch it, like if it shows up on Netflix in a year, you may not be that mad, but you'll put it on the background and you'll be on your cell phone or doing work, like on a laptop or something.
Yeah, you want something to fall asleep to.
So I'm going to give this 2.5 out of 10 concert tickets that nobody else was buying. Because this movie really hits that nail on the head that Bruce Springsteen is old news to everyone in England, evidently. And that 0.5 is only just because I'm a fan of Bruce Springsteen.
It
only
saves it
that much.
Point.
Literally, as a fan of Bruce Springsteen, it's the only thing that it gives this movie. God, they really don't even settle anything with the neo-Nazis, do they?
No, nothing is tied up. He goes to college and we're left wondering what happened to everybody else except for him. The dad never got a job.
No. But don't worry, Javid was born to run.